exercise out there in the third dimension with your smart devices. You can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary, and this is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD 3D Bible study. And on screen with us, we've got Lindy Sweet over there in Parkinson in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. And from the UK, we've got Tom and Wendy Hawkins. G'day, Tom.
Thank you for
Wendy.
Joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Right now, I'm going to hand over to Gloria to open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion.
Yes, and welcome to everybody this Easter weekend. It's so lovely that you've taken time out to come and join us. And even if you happen to be watching on sometime in the future, that's fine too. So we like to have communion. So if you haven't got your elements, jump up and go and get something that you can use to represent the bread and the wine that we use as a representation of the body and the blood of Jesus. So Father God, we just thank you for this very precious time, the coming together of your family, where we share the word and the truth of the word through the revelation of the Holy Spirit in us. We thank you that it goes out to the multitudes of people who are hungry, especially at this time of world history, and especially at this time when there is so much trauma in the world. People are desperate for answers, and you, Father God, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, have the answer for this world, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as I was thinking today about message, the short message that I wanted to bring tonight, I kept coming back to that time that Jesus had when he fellowshipped with his disciples at the Passover before he went to the cross. And he loved being around people. He just loved being around people. Yes, he had his time when he was on his own, when he needed to draw aside, but he just loved people. And one of the things that he talked about was, whenever we come together, we remember him. And doesn't matter whether we are in a situation like this, where we're on live on screen with other people from different parts of the world, or whether we're in a little church somewhere or a big church somewhere, we are together with people and we're fellowshipping one with another. But that communion time that we have, that precious time we have with our brothers and sisters, is not just for that fellowship together as a body. It's also a precious time that we have with Jesus. And so as we take communion today, remember that we are doing this in remembrance of him who went to the cross, who sacrificed everything for us, who gave his all. And at the end, he said, "It is finished." Never again for him to have to go to the cross again. It is finished. So as we take the emblems, the bread and the juice, whatever you have there, let's take time to fellowship with him. And I'm just going to read from Luke 22. And it says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and distribute it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So right now, Jesus, we remember your body that paid the price for our healing by your stripes. We thank you, Jesus, that we can claim that divine health in our bodies because of what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
"Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" So, Father God, we thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, Mm-hmm. We thank you that he willingly went to the cross, mm-hmm. that he shed his blood, and that blood paid for the sin of the world, and for my personal sin was taken as well, that I was crucified with him and I was risen to life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and living today.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Well, this is a Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews, mm-hmm. and we're in chapter 6, and we're down, we'll be starting at verse 19, and I'm going to get Gloria to read verses 19 mm-hmm. and 20,
yep.
and then Lindy will be making the first comments, and when the ministers make their comments, they'll introduce themselves. So I'm just going to share screen, and we will go to my Takata Bible app, and I'm in Hebrews 7. Let me just get back to Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we want to read verse 19. But look, Laura's going to read 19 and 20, but just to get things into context, I will read from verse 13. So these verses, 13 down to 18, we studied out last week. And it says here, For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, this is Abraham, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them, for men, an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of this hope set before us. Now, these verses 19 and 20 are about this hope. That's why I wanted to read that in context. Now, ministers, if you, rather than commenting on those verses that I've just read, if you would just comment on 19 and 20, because these verses were covered last week. So, Gloria, can you read 19 mm. and 20, and then we'll go to Lindy first.
Okay. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so the forerunner was Jesus, right? So over to you, please, Lindy.
Thanks, Gary. So I'm Lindy Sweet. I'm here in Brisbane, Australia. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I like that it says soul, because when I think of faith, I believe that faith is of the heart. We believe in our hearts. We speak out of our mouths. We release faith from our hearts. But the battlefield is often in the mind. And here it's talking about the faith, about hope is an anchor for our soul.
Yeah.
So it's to do with our mind. But also it says in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, and hope is an earnest expectation of good, the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I love that scripture because it goes very well with this one, where it talks about Jesus being the forerunner and us entering the presence behind the veil. And, you know, it's Easter. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday tomorrow. And we should all know that when Jesus gave his life on the cross, that the veil in the temple was torn in two. So access was given straight into the presence of God. And Jesus was the forerunner of that. And we have presence, access to God's presence even now. which is the most amazing thing. And it's not through anything that we can do or that we can deserve, but it's through what Jesus did on our behalf. He was the forerunner for us. He's entered in behind the veil for us. And we have this anchor of our soul, this earnest hope and expectation that we're actually going to see Jesus face to face in the future. And we will be going to heaven and we will see him there. Or we'll see him come for us in the clouds, which would be awesome, wouldn't it, to be part of that rapture? So thanks for that, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Lindy. Yeah, this is... Yeah, that was well covered there, Lindy. Thank you. The soul is the area that we don't get wishy-washy in our spirit, because our spirit has already been redeemed. But our soul, which encompasses our mind, will, and emotion, that's the part that can get shaky. And the anchor for that soul is the Word of God. It's the Word that anchors our soul. Over to you, please, Tom.
Yeah, my name's Tom, this is Wendy. We're from the east coast of England, a place called Gladsby. Well, it's Grimsby, but we call it Gladsby. And it's really what Lindy was saying. The only thing I was looking at there is that the King James has hope in italics. So that means the translators deemed it their own prerogative to put that in. So if you take that out, it just says this we have as an anchor of the soul. So it's like a double, it's almost like the translators have said, yeah, but we need to emphasize, because it says hope, the verse before it, to lay hold of the hope set before it, this we have as an anchor, so this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Mm-hmm. So I think like they added that because there's a parenthesis on that word hope. And if we look at the antidote for everything, hope is the antidote for everything. And I always tell people, you know, the Word of God says these three remain: faith, hope, and love, or faith, hope, and charity. But you know, hope is the glue of faith and love. If you like, that's the sandwich filler. And an anchor, you know, I'm a fisherman, so I know a little bit about fishing. But they drop an anchor to stop them going adrift and going off the fishing grounds or going off the area where they want the boat to be. And, you know, Jesus is the anchor to stop us going adrift. So many people are adrift out there right now without hope, without a future. And yet, you know what? Our hope is not only the same hope that God gave Abraham. Bear in mind, he's 100 years old. He's not seen any seed and descendants yet. And yet, God promised him. So the promises of God to Abraham were awesome. But the promises of God to us are even better than the promises of that God gave to Abraham. We're in a better covenant than the covenant that God made with Abraham. How amazing is that? How would anybody not want to enter into a covenant that's better than an Abrahamic covenant? I mean, I don't know if you paid attention, the Jews do all right. You know, they prosper. They know how to make money. They know how to make a shekel or two, and so they prosper. And so that blessing, that promise to us is even better than an Abrahamic covenant. And so we come into a living hope. You know, Abraham's dead now, but we come into a living hope, and that living hope is Christ. And we're celebrating this Easter. Tomorrow's, you know, hallelujah, it's Resurrection Day. We sing, what a glorious day. It's going to be the greatest day in history. It was the greatest day in history. But this hope, we have an anchor. So it keeps us from going adrift. So people watching out there, just drop anchor. if you don't do anything else, just drop anchor, because it's an anchor of the soul. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Drop that anchor and let Christ be that anchoring point for us. Let the Word of God have preeminence and put a priority on the Word of God. And you know what? It keeps us sure and steadfast. That's what it tells us. So I'm going to end it there.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. That was good. Over to you, Wendy, please.
Yeah, it's really good that we're addressing the fact that the anchor helps our soul, because we all need help for our soul, you know, to stay sure and steadfast. And just as we was talking, that scripture came to my mind, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So there might be people who are listening who are sick at the moment, whether it be in the body or in the mind. But if they use these scriptures and anchor, you know, that the word is an anchor to our soul, then they will become more sure fast. So even these scriptures, they will help us in our physical well-being as well. So if there's anybody who's sick, we just pray for them, pray for you, and just send forth his word that heals you right now in the name of Jesus, and that there is hope. That you might think, oh no, I've gone adrift, there's no hope for me, but there is always hope in Jesus and in his written word. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we just pray that you will have a revelation of what we're speaking, and we will too, that our eyes will all be open in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy. Over to you, Pastor Keith, please. And you'll have to unmute, and don't forget to introduce yourself, please, Keith.
Hello, everyone. I'm Keith Wall from WA, meaning Western Australia. I don't know the Greek meaning, but that's what I'm doing. Thank you. Right, I'd just like to come in on verse 20. Whether a forerunner, for he entered in, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We go from the cross to the holiest of holies, from the cross to the holiest of holies. Jesus is in the holiest of holies. Our high priest is ministering to us from the holiest of holies. And whatever, if you've acknowledged the cross, no matter what state you're in, you now have a right to approach your high priest into the holiest holies. He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. So we have a high priest. The sacrifice has been made, and now by that precious blood, we now approach Jesus in the holiest of holies. He's our high priest. And the priest's ministry is from the people to God. So Jesus is ministering for us to God the Father. He's our high priest to God the Father, for us to God. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Keith. And as you were speaking, the verse was coming to me. We have one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. So, you know, he's our high priest forever. As we go into chapter 7, that's the big emphasis, is that this is forever, forever. Over to you, Pastor Kathleen.
Well, I'm glad Lindy brought out about the anchor for our soul, not our spirit, because the New Living Translation puts verse 19 this way. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. You see, our hope is in him. Like the hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So we have an anchor for our soul, steadfast and sure. Jesus has already gone there. He's already gone into God's inner sanctuary for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So the day I got born again, Jesus became my high priest forever, for eternity. No other priest I need, because he is the one who presents me faultless before the Father.
Amen.
I'll leave it there, Gary.
Oh, wow. Yeah, very, very good. Thank you, Kathleen. And welcome to John Tripp from North Carolina. G'day, John.
Hi, John.
Good morning. I apologize.
It's all right. John, you're just in time to make your comment.
After the next round.
About what she said, how can I follow that? Mikkelsdek, I mean, what a great picture, of a high priest, but Jesus is much beyond that. That's all I can say. But he's in that category, that household of priesthood. It's amazing. So thank you, Gary. I appreciate you letting me make that comment.
Thanks, John. Okay, we're going to read. We're doing well for time. Thank you, ministers. So we'll go and share screen again, and we'll see how we go after this round.
Chapter 7.
Yeah, we're over to chapter 7, so I'll have to...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. You're fine, John. Chapter 7, and we'll read verse 1 to 3, please, Gloria. Mm-hmm.
For this...
Just read it slowly so that the people watching in the third dimension can take it in.
Okay. For this, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually.
Yeah. Now, Genesis 14, verse 18, first mentions this Melchizedek. So that's worthy of looking at. We won't go there now. And the other thing too, I was looking at Andrew Womack's Living Commentary before we went to air tonight, and he made the point that Salem was the original name for Jerusalem, which I didn't know until I read that tonight. Over to you, please, Lindy.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I was actually just about to say that, but that's good that you covered that. It was Jerusalem. So Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham, and it says in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. And it's interesting that it's bringing in tithing into this passage of scripture, and this was hundreds of years before the law. So hundreds of years before the law, Abraham was actually tithing, and we could see that principle of giving to God right back to Cain and Abel in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 4. And it says that Eve bore Abel, who was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, or at the end of days, that literally means, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. So Cain waited till the end of the days. He waited till the end of the harvest, and he bought the dregs. But Abel bought the firstborn and the best, the firstborn of the flock and their fat. And it said, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know, tithing has always been done by faith, or should have always been done by faith. Cain wasn't doing it by faith. He was giving out of obligation and giving the last and the bits that weren't much chop, but Abel was giving of the very best. So he was giving of, it takes faith to give of your best. Amen.
Amen.
So we see this principle right back in the book of Genesis. And then it talks here, and of course, Abraham was Genesis as well, gave a tenth part of all. And he brought it to the high priest at that time, who was Melchizedek. And it goes on to say that Melchizedek had no genealogy, so he had neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. And I like what Kathleen said, Jesus continually remains our priest. He always will be our high priest. And he makes intercession for the saints. And if I could just give a very quick testimony, back in 1996, my husband David was very ill. We went to a conference down in Melbourne, and he got what seemed like a virus, and he had hot sweats and was very, very sick. Went to the doctor, asked for antibiotics. The doctor said, oh, it's just a virus, it'll go away, you know, don't worry about it. He got worse and worse, went back to the doctor, banged his fist on the table basically and said, I want antibiotics. And the doctor gave them to him, but said they won't do any good. And then he started to get ulcers on his legs, big ulcers, and his leg, by the time we flew back to Brisbane, his legs had swollen up to twice their normal size. We got an after-hours medical doctor come in, and all this time David is speaking the word, he's speaking to this thing, commanding it, healing to manifest in his body, but nothing was happening. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him and said, I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And from that moment, David began to recover. He was sent to a specialist who said that he believed he had a staphylococcal infection in his bloodstream, which was deadly and they had no cure for. Every hour or so, they were taking punctures from these ulcers, but they just all totally disappeared. And when we went back to the specialist and said, did they find out what it was? They said, we have no idea what happened. It's just gone. But Jesus is our high priest continually, and he makes intercession for us. So there may be times in your life where you believe in God for something and it's difficult and it looks like things aren't happening, but the Lord Jesus will make intercession for you. And it came to me very clearly after that. I said to David, do you know where that scripture is in the Bible where the Lord says, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail? And it was when Peter was being tempted by the devil. The devil came out to destroy Peter. Mm. And so it was a straight out demonic attack against my husband. He was using his faith. Nothing was manifesting. But from the moment the Lord Jesus spoke to him in his spirit through the Holy Spirit and said, I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail, his healing began to manifest.
Amen.
But he is our high priest continually. And that's a very important part of it, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. Thanks, Gary.
Oh, thank you, Lindy. Great. Over to you, please, Tom.
Yeah, I'm just looking at basically the same thing, really. Jesus is our high priest continually today. So in the old covenant, they had to just temporarily have a cure for their whatever their wrongdoings and their sins and their transgressions. But today we have a high priest that's a continual high priest. We don't have to go to an earthly minister anymore for some absolution. You know, the Catholic Church over here in the UK is quite a big organization, and you know, you can live like you want to a Sunday and then go and get your absolution, go and say your Hail Marys, go and get your sins forgiven and carry on for another week, exactly where you left off. But Jesus's ministry is a heavenly ministry for us. And so Melchizedek, King of Salem, like you said before, Jerusalem is the prefix before it that we recognize. But he wasn't, I'm going to say this because this is how I understand it. You know, we're all ministers. We might not have a full handle on the truth of everything, but God has appointed man to die once and then face judgment. So Melchizedek was an earthly person. A lot of people think that he was like, I don't know, he's got no genealogy, he's got no beginning of days, he's got no father or mother. Well, he must have had a father and a mother, because all men are appointed to die once and face judgment. And so this is my opinion, but my understanding is that he had no recorded, he's not in the begats anywhere. You know, most people, begats was important to the Hebrew, to the nations. In the old covenant, the begats was really important, you know, sons and male. But I just think that Melchizedek wasn't mentioned in any of the begats. He wasn't mentioned of genealogy. He wasn't mentioned that he's got a father or a mother, much like, and then that's the similarity with Jesus, because Jesus didn't have a heavenly father as such. You know, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so that's just how I explain it to people, because they see this Melchizedek as this like mysterious figure of, I don't know, maybe he's a ghost or maybe he's an angel or something like that. Well, my opinion is that we don't see his recorded genealogy. And in that way, the likeness is in the likeness of without father and et cetera. So I don't know whether that helps or whether that confuses, but that's how I see it. He must have. There's only two people who haven't suffered death so far. One's Enoch and one's Elijah. They were both caught. Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind and Enoch just wasn't. But you know, they will still taste death at some time. And if you look in the book of Revelation, it talks about two witnesses. And again, I've done a teaching on this over the years ago. And I believe that they are the two witnesses that are gonna, that, so God has appointed man to die once and then face judgment. So that's my opinion.
Thanks, Tom. And I'll go along with you when you look at Melchizedek. I see it exactly the same way as you see it, Tom. Over to you, Wendy. not that it takes my tick of approval, you know what I mean? But,
well, this is why we're here.
Sorry, Tom, I was talking over you. You go ahead.
No, we're all here to learn. And just because we're ministers and just because we're on screen doesn't mean we're perfect and get it right every single time. And so we're subject to instruction and training in righteousness, just as the way as everybody else. We're not infallible. We're not imperfect. And so our opinions are like noses. We've all got one, but they generally do have a couple of holes in them.
Thanks, Tom. Over to you, Wendy.
It just brings me so much peace to think that Jesus is forever interceding and is our great high priest. Like Lindy and her example, sometimes we don't know what to do or what to say, but I always remind myself of that. And the good news is that Jesus, our priest and heavenly father, they never sleep or slumber either. Normal priests obviously are humans and have to go to sleep, but it just brings so much peace and comfort and hope and faith, you know, to know that. And even if we just think about that, it'll keep us thankful forevermore, won't it? No, just that very one thing. So if people are anxious and who are watching about things, you know, just reassure yourself with that scripture that we have 24 hours a day and he never sleeps or slumbers. And before you even ask, he knows what you want and he's already asked. So I hope that brings peace to somebody who's listening to him.
I'm sure it will. Thanks, Wendy. Yeah, so you can see how much detail the author goes into about this Melchizedek. And the reason behind that is that there's a change in the priesthood with Jesus, and he has to be able to explain it, because Jesus is not of the Levitical priesthood, right? So and you've got to remember who the audience is. These are previously Jews who've become Christians. He's writing to Hebrews. Who are the Hebrews? They're the Jews, right? Now, yes, there's benefit for us, but that's why he's going into so much detail, because all the way throughout the generations, they've had generation after generation after generation. The only priests were from the Levitical priesthood. All of a sudden, you've got this Jesus who is not of the Levitical priesthood. So the author is explaining why, how it's all coming about. Okay. Who's next? Over to
Pastor Keith.
Pastor Keith, that's right. Yeah. Well, then we'll go from Pastor Keith, we'll go to John, and then we'll go to Kathleen. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Over to you, Pastor Keith. You'll have to unmute, please, Kathleen.
Jesus is not of the Aaron's priesthood. He's from the tribe of Judah. But by the same token, if you study the priesthood of the Levitical priesthood, if you study that, then you realize the importance of a priest. Now, those priests were limited. This is the thing. Those priests were limited because they died and another priest took over. Jesus is a high priest with an endless priesthood. See, this is where we might get the shadow of a revelation, but when we come to Jesus, we get the full vision of the revelation that Jesus is a priest, and a priestly ministry is so important.
Mm.
The lamb that was sacrificed is important. But from the lamb to the priesthood is very important. If we miss the fellowship with our high priest, you're just really, you're in no man's land. You're saved, but you haven't get the purpose. The purpose comes with the resurrected life of Jesus Christ ministering to us as our high priest. Now we have to, and it says this in Hebrew, we have to be bold enough to come into the holiest of holies. See, this is the thing. We've got to grow up to get all that God's for us. Because this is what the Old Testament teaches. They never got the promise because they started analyzing everything. They tried to prove what was right or wrong, or it couldn't work. This new covenant works. And we're in the new covenant, and we've got to realize that we must approach the holiest of holies to get our high priest.
Mm.
You're not somewhere else, you're there. He's in the holiest of holies, and we have to come in there through the blood of the Lamb. But you've got to realize it's a difference. We have now, from the death of the cross to the resurrection, we now have that abundant life.
Mm.
I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about abundant life. That's fellowship with Jesus Christ and fellowship with other Christians. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor Keith. Over to you, please, John.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. You know, Kelsdek, who symbolizes, in a sense, Jesus, you know, I'm going to read from what David prophesied about this in Psalms 85:10, I think it's really beautiful. It says, your mercy and your truth have married each other. Your righteousness and peace have kissed. What a beautiful analogy there of those two. And when we talk about what Jesus did for us. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, John. Over to you, Kathleen, please.
Well, I'm so glad that John just mentioned righteousness and peace have kissed each other, because I just want to read Hebrews chapter 7 and verse from the Passion Bible. Because Melchizedek's name means king of righteousness. He was king of peace. So when John mentioned righteousness and peace have met together, because the name of the city he ruled as king was Salam, which means peace. He was also a priest of the Most High God. And this is why when Gary mentioned Genesis 14, he broke bread. He had bread and wine with Abraham. So it all comes back to our communion now. Mm. We can tie in the communion when we remember that. But I would just like to, just to bring out that point anyway, Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of the Most High God, brought Abraham bread and wine, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham with the blessing. Now we have already received the blessing, and our blessing is that we are now clean to come into the Holy of Holies through our priest, our high priest. But Jesus isn't just a high priest, he's the great high priest. See, we have a great high priest, and so we can now come to the throne of grace in and through him. And he has given us life forever. And the only way we can approach the throne of grace is through the great high priest, our great high priest, Jesus. I've just done a big study on the power of the blood. And so it's really pleasing to me that we're in this, because it is just so beneficial. Now, if I could just read Hebrews 7, 1 and 2 in the New Living Translation, which I've got just here. This Melchizedek was the king of the city Salem, and also a priest of God Most High. And when Abraham was returning home after winning the battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. And you see, our battle is not to the swift anymore. Our battle is with our mind. Our battle is to get our mind now renewed, so that we think like God and speak like God, because we are created in his image to imitate him. So I just praise the Lord that I can go to my high priest, my great high priest, any time of day or night, and he will present me before God Almighty just as if I never sinned. Mm. I'll leave it there, Gary.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Kathleen, and thanks to all the ministers. I want to speak to the people out there in the third dimension. That's you guys who are watching us. Are you a Christian? And I can hear all of those people watching saying, yes, what do you think I'd be watching this for if I wasn't a Christian? Do you know Jesus? I don't mean just a passing knowledge, you've heard of Jesus. I mean, do you know Jesus intimately? If this was to be your last night, if you were to die tonight in your sleep, do you know with all certainty that you would go to heaven? And if you just said, as I once did about 20 years ago, no, but I sure hope so. If you're hoping that you're going to heaven and not knowing that you're going to heaven, then I would say that your hope is based on your good works. You know, none of us can be good enough to get our ticket to heaven. Guess what? That's why we have a Savior. If we could earn our way to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have needed to go to the cross. You really need to grasp this point. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the entire world. But to receive salvation, You have to do it by faith. You have to put your trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I invite you right now to join with me in this prayer? And after this prayer, you will have absolute certainty that you've got your ticket to heaven. Admit one to heaven. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. I've heard that if I call on the name Jesus, I will be saved. And right now I call out, Jesus, help me, Lord. I declare that you are my Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I thank you, God, that I am now a child of the living God, that I now have my ticket to heaven. I am now saved in Jesus' name. Amen. That prayer was based on the gospel of, it's based on Romans, not one of the gospels. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. So write that down and write the date down that you said that prayer. I'll tell you this, if you're really connected, you'll get a witness from the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are a child of God. If you don't have that witness, then I would say to you that you need to get born again. So rewind this video and play that prayer again and say it. And look up that verse and read it for yourself and get revelation from the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God. When I got this revelation, it turned my life around 180 degrees. I was going in one direction, and in a moment of time, my life changed, and I started going in the opposite direction. I'm going to hand over to Gloria now, and she's going to give you our email address and close this Bible study with prayer.
Yes, so if you'd like to contact us, let us know if you've said that prayer, or let us know if you've got a question. You can email us at gfcd.sozo, that's S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, and to all the ministers on the screen. And please,
we'll
come
be back this time next week. So just remember where you're watching us. Sorry to interrupt that.
That's okay. And for those of you who will be joining us tomorrow, thank you. I know it's Easter Sunday, so it's wonderful that you can come along and join us. But so, Father God, we thank you for this very, very precious, special time of the year where we celebrate what has happened 2,000 years ago, that you gave your only begotten Son for all mankind. We thank you that you've created a way for us to spread the gospel throughout the world, and for people to hear this good news. And we thank you. We close this Bible study in your precious name.
Amen. And you know, the resurrection, it's Resurrection Sunday tomorrow.
Mm.
The resurrection is so important that in the salvation prayer, there is only 2 points.
Yeah.
One is to call Jesus Lord, give him lordship of your life. And the other one is to believe that God raised him from the dead.
Mm.
Not to believe that he was crucified. Mm. Many men were crucified,
yeah,
but only one was raised from the dead, and his name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks,
you,
ministers.
Everybody.
We love you all. And we'll see you this time next week.
Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.